Welcome back, everybody. It is Hoops HD's Championship Week video notebook day number six. It is past midnight. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and David Dorman.
We think Stalika fell asleep.
if he wakes up, he'll be joining us during the show. If he does not wake up, well, then I hope he gets a good nap in. And wait, I think we got Stalika coming in right
there
now.
There he is. All right.
Better late than never.
John. How are you?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
I think we're getting Stalika.
I don't know. I see Rocco. I always think it's Rocco because, like, we see Rocco's picture.
But we'll kind of get Stalika up here. Anyhow, while he's loading in, let's go ahead and go over some news and notes about things that happened in the regular season play tonight as we're wrapping up the regular season in all but two conferences, just the American and Big Ten to wrap up tomorrow on Sunday. I'll go conference by conference here. First of all, in the ACC, Dorman, Wake Forest, to the extent they had any slim margin for that large bid, I think it was gone with the loss of Syracuse tonight.
They are done.
Meanwhile, though, Miami beats Pitt to take the in the battle for the one seed, and Duke wins at North Carolina. Those are the two other big ACC finals.
A nice road win by Duke. North Carolina is bubble-ish at best, but they've been really good at home. So that's a nice road win by Duke. I've been beating up Duke for not winning on the road this year.
That doesn't count because they could still sleep in their own beds for that.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't count. They're only 8 miles apart.
But Miami gets the win over Pitt, which, interestingly enough, drops Pitt all the way down to the 5 seed in the ACC tournament. They have to play an extra round game, just the way that all the tiebreakers worked out in the ACC. They could have been the 1 seed if they won the game.
wow.
In the Big East, Stalika, not really going to talk about your Xavier team because they beat a team they should have beaten, but how about the other two games? No. First of all, Seton Hall wins at Providence, and second of all, UConn wins at Nova.
This was beyond a bedwetting, what Providence did today for Senior Day. I mean, they just were a complete no-show, and suddenly they've fallen to number 4 in the conference. They're going to be facing a rabid UConn fan base in what is colloquially known as Stores South at MSG South, or Stores South, I should say.
Yep. Dorman, in the SEC, a few notable games. First of all, Alabama goes down at Texas A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M looked good. They didn't play great to try and close the game, but their guard play was great today. And College Station was rocking, and Uncle Buzz was rocking and rolling. He looked great in his suit, and he was sweating up a storm.
Quite a suit.
And, all is good in College Station because A&M is going into the SEC tournament red hot. And they've been really, since Christmas, they're about as hot as anyone in the country. They got off to a bad start in the non-conference, but, wow, since January, they are really look good.
Other notable games here, Griggs. Auburn with a win over the shorthanded Tennessee team. A real important win, even though it was only at home for Auburn. And and Tennessee showing that I think we got to see a little more out of them in the SEC tournament. Prove they can win without Ziegler.
This was a competitive game. I don't know if it was a good win for Auburn or an indication that Tennessee isn't as good and can't even beat a bubble team. But I think the way the committee will dissect it, I know Tytel's not here, but I think this is going to be enough for Auburn.
Yep. Stalika, Kentucky with a win at Arkansas, and Vanderbilt with a home win over Mississippi State, despite Vanderbilt being shorthanded, keeping them in the bubble picture here.
Well, this was a game without Liam Robbins, who was the Commodores' leading scorer right here. I still think there's a very thin path for the Commodores here to follow right here, but it's still a path nonetheless.
Dorman, I know you don't want me to ask you, but just before we started here in the Pac-12, UCLA beats Arizona.
You keep giving me the teams that are red hot. UCLA looks really, really good. Again, I love seniors and guard play in March, and they have that in Tiger and Jarez, and they are going to Vegas with the 1 seed of the Pac-12, and they are looking as good as anyone in the country right now. I really believe that.
Griggs, over in the big,
Yeah, I agree with that. I think UCLA, like Auburn has done enough, I think UCLA has done enough. They will get selected.
USC, as we record, this is up 10 at home over Arizona State. We did not wait for that
Love
game
how
to
you
go
just
final.
ignored my hot take there that UCLA is getting it.
USC is up 10 on Arizona State. Could be a win that almost puts USC in and could put Arizona State in a position where they've got to do some serious work in the Pac-12 tournament if this score holds. But Griggs, in the Big 12, a couple of key wins. Iowa State, who have been floundering, goes to Baylor and picks up a win. And West Virginia, a home win over Kansas State that may have put them in the field.
I don't know how else to sum it up other than that. But Iowa State, to expand on it a little bit, I think they were just 3-8 in their last 11, and we were didn't think that they had another winnable game in them. Not only did they win a big game, that ranks very, very high on 10 best wins of the year, especially with how well Baylor had played since starting off 0-3. I can't figure out the Cyclones. They All, it's like a switch flips, and now they're a top 10 caliber team again.
They're gonna like make they're gonna make the Sweet 16 and then get blown out, or they're gonna make the Elite Eight and then get blown out. That's the kind of thing I'm looking at them doing.
Or they'll lose in the round of 64.
In a weird situation, the two will have a rematch in the second round of the Big 12 as they have the 4 and the 5 seeds. So they'll see each other again real soon.
Stalika. Texas, the huge home win over Kansas, and there goes, not only did Alabama go down, one of the potential one seeds, there goes Kansas goes down today as well.
Well, and also keeps the Longhorns in the hunt for a possible number one seed should they be able to, let's say, win the Big 12 tournament right here, or if
I think
Purdue
they got to
has.
win. I think they got to win the Big 12 tournament for
Great
that. But go
point.
ahead.
Of course, that also could depend on whether or not Purdue has an early slip up in the Big 10 conference tournament.
I believe Purdue has one more game tomorrow as well. Do they not, or are they done?
Illinois. They play
Illinois
Illinois at
today.
home.
And I think, Chad, I think this does it. I think this puts Texas in. Texas will get selected.
I was going to go to you next, but instead, let me go to Dorman.
It's my turn now.
TCU, an upset loss at Oklahoma. Oklahoma State with a win at Texas Tech. Those are the other two Big 12 finals.
Yeah, and that makes the Oklahoma State situation all the more murkier. I don't know what's going to happen with this Oklahoma State team. There's so many losses, but there's so many good wins. I think this one's tight. I know there hasn't been so many teams to get in the tournament, I believe, too, with this many losses. But how many times have we seen a conference loaded as this year's Big 12?
Well, the Oklahoma just being TCU is notable because now we have
Yeah.
Bedlam in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Oklahoma State has to beat Oklahoma. And we know Oklahoma's a tough team to beat, even though they finished with a losing record.
Yeah.
Let's jump outside of the Power Five conferences into a couple others. Stalika, UNLV with an overtime win at Nevada. And suddenly Nevada's right there on the bubble as
Oof.
well, aren't they?
It's been a pretty bad week for Nevada right here. You couple with the fact that they've been now swept by a cross-state rival UNLV. They also had the bad loss at Wyoming. And should Nevada lose early in the Mountain West tournament, they're going to be seriously sweating come Selection Sunday.
And
Agreed.
I think they're going to be sweating anyway.
A team,
And
a
they play
team.
San Jose State.
A team, Griggs, that I think may not be sweating something on Selection Sunday might have the best shot at being the second Mountain West team is Utah State with a win over Boise State. And the Aggies, while they don't have any notable wins, they just keep winning games.
If you pull them up, I
I'll
just
say that.
don't know how to evaluate this other than to say that they did a good job getting C's on everything and not failing anything. Is that good enough?
I'm trying to pull it up here. Let me know if the screen share came up here.
Yeah,
Let's try
it
to
did.
get Utah
I
State up
think
here on the
whether they
list.
get in or out, it'll be the most controversial team on Selection Sunday.
Yeah,
You actually
I
have to
don't know how
score
to
yet.
evaluate this because like
Well,
Boise at home is a decent win, but that it's that that it doesn't top out that high. Nevada at home, a decent win. I actually think the win at UNLV is right up there in the same class as those two. And of course, you're not going to hold a loss at San Jose State against them. I mean, the San Jose State is
Okay,
amazing.
this is what I was going
How
to
do
say,
you
Greg.
evaluate this? I
But
don't, yeah.
Griggs, real quick though, if the committee's actually using this workbook, they may actually value Utah State greater because they may forget to scroll down to their tier four losses.
Yeah,
Look at the
that's
net
a
and the
problem. I don't.
Kenpom.
Do you think they're going to get selected? I'm surprised because we haven't looked at them all year, and I just don't think a win at home over Boise State elevates them to, it's so much that they're inside the bubble.
Well, let's see what their I'm going to pull the Mountain West tournament bracket up here real quick. Their path is they're going to start with the winning of a winner of a New Mexico Wyoming game. You get a little points maybe for beating New Mexico because they'll have a decent net. Then you get Boise State again in the semifinals. I think there's a path here for the championship game.
Yeah.
They win those two and lose to San Diego State in the finals.
Yeah,
I'm
if
putting Utah.
San Diego State even gets
I
there,
think
I
they're
mean,
in too. I'm with
but
you, Chad.
they're not going to beat San Jose State in the finals. I just don't think that that happens.
If they lose to San Jose State in the finals, I think they're going to make it.
Yeah.
Stalika, a couple other notes real quick. Florida Atlantic finished off their season with a road win at Louisiana Tech, although they really struggled to get that game, get
At
that
the
win.
end of the day, they do get the win right here. I think Conference USA has to be hoping that they get a final between Florida Atlantic and North Texas in their championship game.
I'd hope that North Texas wins that game is what
Yeah.
Conference USA is hoping.
I don't think Florida Atlantic needs to do any more. I think that at this point, winning in the conference tournament is simply repeating what they've already done, and then losing, they were the outright first place finisher. So if you like them today, not being able to repeat something that they've already done shouldn't knock them out. I think FAU is in on the first ballot.
Here's Griggs. If they lose to a bad UTEP team or a bad Western Kentucky team, I don't know. I think there's debate there. And then you get Middle Tennessee or Charlotte in the second round. I think they got to lose that final to a UAB or a North Texas. I really do.
I don't. I think they're going to go in.
Well, keep in mind, if they were to lose to Middle Tennessee, they would be losing two out of three to the Blue Raiders. That's a bit dicey.
Just before we get to the actual conference tournament games, a couple of teams, that did get eliminated by regular season tonight. Brown eliminated the Ivy League. Cornell gets the final Ivy League spot. And congratulations to Texas Southern. Bethune-Cookman got the final two SWAC tournament spots, knocking out Pine Bluff and Alabama State. But let's get to the conference tournaments, unless I missed anything.
I don't think so.
Hearing no.
We had a championship in the semifinal game tonight.
Well,
Oh, you're not starting
let's
there.
have the
Yeah.
championship of the championship game and the game of the day on top of it as well. Congratulations to the Southeast Missouri State Redhawks. Came storming back in the second half. Thought they had won the game on a game-winning three, but I thought the foot was clearly over the line. I don't know why they really thought he made it as three. It was just a game-tying two
Anybody with the IQ of a
by Tennessee
doorknob
Tech.
would not have needed 5 minutes to decipher that his foot was n not on the line in front of it.
Yeah, but
I don't know
congratulations. But
what the hell took so long
yeah,
to make
Tennessee
that.
Tech came storming back, got that tie, went overtime though, and SEMO put their foot down in towards the end of overtime. Dorman, your thoughts on this game and Southeast Missouri State heading to the NCAA tournament?
My thoughts on them heading to the tournament. They'll be in the play-in game and they should book their ticket to Dayton. They can get some airfare tomorrow morning if they would like. The game, like Riggs was saying, bothered me in the end that the officiating, like, it shouldn't take this long. Let's get to it. I like the battle back and forth between the teams. Texas Tech was game. They hadn't been to the tournament in a long, long time. They thought they had it at the buzzer. They didn't. SEMO regrouped and took it to them in overtime. And it was a fantastic game and a game I felt bad for anyone to lose.
So congrats
I
to SEMO on to the Big
congrats to
Dance.
SEMO. They were at the end of the day, they had as many wins as anybody else in this conference. They finished with 14, even though they were the fifth place team when the tournament started. And the other team that had 14 wins was Morehead State, and SEMO beat them two out of three. So don't say that they're not deserving. They absolutely are.
Four wins in 4 days also to get there. It can be done. Second time it's been done in this tournament. So when you look at these ladder formats, don't just assume that the one team seed and two seeds will be in the finals. OVC has been proving us wrong a few times. Celica, Northeast Conference. We also have an automatic bid clinched, although we do not have a tournament champion. As Merrimack got a bit of a game effort from Sacred Heart, but put him away late, and Fairleigh Dickinson really didn't have much of a problem with SFPA.
And as it turned out, Fairleigh Dickinson actually beat SEMO for the first NCAA tournament bid by about 20 minutes right there.
Yes, because Merrimack is ineligible as a transitional team, the runner-up in the conference tournament, if should Merrimack win it, gets the automatic bid, which means no matter what, Fairleigh Dickinson is receiving the auto bid. They are going to be coming back Tuesday, and I think they would like another trophy, even though they have to go to Road to Merrimack to get
Yeah, the problem is, are they good enough to get it? And I don't think they are. I'm
it.
going with Merrimack to win the game, but it doesn't matter.
Well,
Fairleigh Dickinson.
I got to ask you though, Griggs, the big question here: should Merrimack win this game? Can both, and we said a bunch of Fairleigh Dickinson fans there, can both fan bases storm the court? Merrimack, NEC champions, Fairleigh Dickinson going to the NCAA tournament.
I was disappointed this did not occur in the Atlantic Sun last year. Yes, they can. They can both storm the court. It is allowed. We will allow that. And Fairleigh Dickinson stormed the court today. One of the things about this is, while it's good that the transitional teams get to play in the conference tournaments, I think it's bad for the league that the game that actually, led into the NCAA tournament wasn't even on television. A lot of times the showcase event for your conference, not just men's basketball, but the event for your conference period is the men's basketball championship game. And if it suddenly doesn't mean anything, I mean, my God, could you imagine if this conference like wasn't very good, Chad?
I will not have you disrespecting the fine network known as SNY, home of the New York Mets.
I'm just going to jump in 1 second here on Fairleigh Dickinson. Coach Tobin Anderson, this is his first year. This is his first year at the program. He took over a team. Last year, they won four games. This year, they're going to the conference tournament. That's an incredible turnaround. I agree with everyone on the conference with the way they've handled Ron. But an incredible achievement of Fairleigh Dickinson, an unbelievable turnaround.
Well,
And
don't
is it
forget.
fair? Yeah, is it fair to not let Merrimack play? No, it isn't fair. But sometimes what's fair and what's best don't always match up.
Well, I was just going to say they do still get a showcase. That game Tuesday will still be 7 p.m. on ESPN2. I'll still be watching it. I don't care
I
if the
will
auto
be,
bid
but
is.
we're freaks.
Okay. Dorman, Missouri Valley Conference semifinal day, and we had a first game, a heck of a game between Bradley and Indiana State.
Incredible. Absolutely awesome. Valley continues to have awesome tournaments year after year. Indiana State came really flying back. They struggled in the first half. They dug themselves about a 10-11 point deficit, but they never got knocked out, and they kept chipping and chipping and chipping away. Next thing I knew, they had a 1 point lead with like 11 seconds to go. Bradley got bailed out on a foul call. They hit two free throws. But Indiana State was game, and this game was fantastic. They'll meet Drake in the finals tomorrow. These two teams met last Sunday in Bradley. Bradley pulled away in the end. This is going to be an incredible final tomorrow. And it's too bad that the Valley fell flat on their face in non-conference, because I'll tell you this, Bradley and Drake can both win a game or two in the tournament.
Another observation about this tournament is how much better it's gotten from day to day. Thursday was you could sleep through everything. Friday we saw a smattering of good games. Today we saw one really good one. Are we going in for a quadrupler tomorrow?
I think we're going
It's
to have a
just
great game.
exponential game,
I think these teams are about as even as you can get. So I think this has a chance to be an awesome game tomorrow. I'm really excited about this one, man.
And are we pretty much in agreement? The winner is going and the loser is not.
Oh, absolutely. There's no at-large bid in this conference. Celica, it was Big South semifinal day, and we had a pair of really good games in this conference as well.
This was a great day.
Yep, and at the end of the day, it's not going to be Chris, not a relative of Chris Clemens, but they will have another one in Ricky Clemens, who's actually going to lead the camels into the championship game right here. Although it's going to be a real tall order going up against a UNC Asheville team that ended up surviving against a USC Upstate in the opener.
It was at the Anthony DeLaRosso for Campbell that got the game winning shot there at, with I think 1.3 seconds left for the win over Radford. Yeah. And here we go. Campbell came out of the seven, had a battle with Presbyterian in the first round.
Yeah.
Took care along with the second round, got the throw over Radford. Now they're going up against the class of the league, though, Dorman. Can Campbell keep it going and knock out Asheville?
They can. They need to play really well. They need to shoot the ball really well. They have an extra day of games on their belt, but there was a day off on Thursday. So they've really played two games in 2 days going into Mau, which is the same thing as Asheville. I'm picking Asheville to win, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Fighting Camels pulled this off.
Now, Asheville struggled a bit with Upstate, but Upstate actually beat them during the regular season. Upstate is a team that one of those teams that I think kind of had Asheville's number. I think Asheville's going to roll Campbell tomorrow, Griggs, frankly.
I do, too. And another reason I think this is going to happen, I've picked Campbell to lose all three games, and there's no way I'm going to be wrong four times in a row.
There you go. Griggs, let me stick with you. It was quarterfinal round day in the America East, and the best game of the four games was one that was supposed to start at 1 p.m. and didn't even get started until 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, power outage issues. And it's just like, my God, if we were going to have a power outage, why couldn't it have been in Vermont? Like, nobody wanted to watch. This was a really fun game and an intriguing, just almost like one of those November-exempt tournament games, just because it was such a bizarre setting. There was no audio working in the arena. I don't know how they were even doing the PA, but the band was playing. That was the only music they had, and it was delayed 6 hours. UMBC, I think, brought a student bus, and I don't know what they were doing for 6 hours, but I knew what I would be doing when I was a student for 6 hours, and it was a very lively atmosphere in there. And it was a great game to watch. It was a lot of fun. I had no rooting interest, and to be honest, as much as I love watching the games, a lot of the times I don't have a rooting interest, but what a fun game and a really nice win for Binghamton. When they not just went on the road, but had to wait 6 hours before they could start playing. Another thought it lost in all this, there was severe weather across much of the country. Kentucky got hit the OVC tournament. While nothing was delayed, it was a little bit disruptive. So we just hope everybody's okay. And UMBC fans, I don't know if they're aware if they've lost yet or not, because the cable and power may have been out.
The only other game that was sort of close was, Lowell and Vermont both rolled big time, but New Hampshire Bryant game was close throughout as well. Bryant, though, was down, missing not one, not two, but their top three scorers for the majority of this game, as Charlie Pride wasn't even able to suit up. The next two best scorers both went down with injuries, although Timberlake did come back late in the game with a big giant knee brace and hobbled through the end of the game. And still, they almost beat New Hampshire.
Yeah,
which may be more of an indictment on New Hampshire than a compliment of Bryant, unfortunately. But those were the four games today. The conference has a few days off now. We'll be coming back Tuesday night, so we will preview those games on Monday's show. But Dorman, let's roll things along here to conference chaos. The Sun Belt.
I'm so sorry.
Southern missed the top seed. It was tight in the first half. They had a little lead. And then South Alabama came out of halftime hot as can be. Southern Miss was stifled. Southern Alabama's defense was all over them. Southern Miss couldn't hit a shot. And South Alabama ran away with it. Was really surprising. Not that they lost Southern Miss, but getting drilled and not even in it down the stretch was really surprising to me.
Yeah,
you want me to keep going, or should we split this
keep
one
going, keep going. Take the second game, and I'll toss the other two somewhere else.
James Madison, this is a team I was real high on coming into the season. They didn't play great throughout the conference. There was a few good games. They looked rather pedestrian at other times. But this was a good game. It was back and forth. Troy had a lead going with about 6 minutes to go, I believe. and James Madison hit a big three. The Troy coach went crazy. I don't believe he got teed up, but it got James Madison and the crowd riveted. And from there on, they had the emotion and they had everything going for him. Troy was definitely had some shots at the end to get the to overtime or even beat him in regulation, and it didn't. They came up short. James Madison moves on. The fourth seed will play the eighth seed tomorrow in the semis.
But Sleek, if 4 versus 8 isn't good enough for you, Louisiana didn't have much problem with Georgia Southern, but how about Texas State doing it again?
It's not quite 3 games in 3 days. It's actually going to be 3 and 4 for a Texas State team that's, again, going to be better late than never. Now, granted, Louisiana is probably one of the few favorites that still remaining here in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. The thing is, the wild card now is because South Alabama is only about an hour and a half away from Pensacola. There's going to be a huge contingent of Jaguar fans in the crowd now.
Oh, Griggs, what do you think about these two games tomorrow? Can we end up with an 8 versus 11 championship?
Yeah, I don't see how you could say that can't happen when, after seeing what happened today. This was something that I think that we were really excited for this tournament. This is one that we'd had circled pretty much since mid-January. And for it to not play out the way that we thought, I don't know if it's disappointing or not, but it kind of is. You wanted to see Southern Miss and Marshall go at it deep.
I disagree. I thought this was great. I think it's great to see this crazy one conference tournament just go get upended. And why not this one that has this huge bracket to do it?
Well, Southern Miss fans probably don't agree. But, you know, these teams were exciting all year. And while they did, like, Marshall certainly hit some speed bumps, but I also thought that they played at a high level most of the time. And you just kind of hate to see a team that really picked a bad day to have a bad day. But Texas State is just not very good at all. I can't believe that they've won the games that they have. I was not surprised that they beat Georgia State, but I wouldn't have been shocked had they not. And then, like, to basically just smother Old Dominion and then beat Marshall today, I have no explanation. So can they win tomorrow? Sure, after they've done all that. And South Alabama didn't just beat Southern Miss. They beat them like a drum. So, yeah, they can win tomorrow too.
Louisiana, the most impressive team so far among the top seeds. So we'll see how they do against Texas State. But let's keep things rolling along here to the SoCon. And you guys did not take me seriously last night when I said, watch out for Chattanooga against Samford. And now I will admit, I did not see Wofford over Greensboro coming from anywhere. But I'll tell you what, I mean, I think we all thought East Tennessee State would beat Western Carolina as well. This conference, after Furman took care of Mercer in the first game, the other three games were just went off the rails also. Stalika, your thoughts?
I have a feeling they're probably trying to put this on a silver platter for Furman right here. But you look at teams like Chattanooga and Wofford, historically they've made deep runs in the SoCon. It's just going to be from a lot higher seed this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Western Carolina game, they really controlled East Tennessee State. The Chattanooga game, they had a huge lead. They were up 18 in the second half.
Yeah.
Samford came all the way back. I believe Samford actually took a lead.
But Nuga
found a way to get it. And there was basically a buzzer beater for Wofford to win this game by Mac. Yeah. It was that Griggs, we now can't even talk. We now have a 6 versus 7 semifinal. Wofford Chattanooga. And does this just mean that Furman's just gonna walk over the next two games and be done?
I would think so, but logic would say that that's how it's going to work. I mean, it was kind of a three-horse race all year. I don't recall Furman having any trouble at all with anybody that's left. I think that's basically how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think we even discussed Western Carolina once this season.
We didn't. Well, maybe when they were maybe to say, hey, they this week Furman has Western Carolina.
Chattanooga, at least they're your defending champion. They've been, you know, one of the powers in this conference in recent years. And I don't know. Should we just move on? Dorman, how about the Colonial? It was second round day, I guess we want to call it, which started with a bunch of snoozers, but ended with a thriller.
Yep, exactly. We had three blowouts, and then Delaware and Northeastern went to overtime. Tomorrow, I think this gets interesting. I really do. Delaware has played well at times. I still like Towson to make a move in this tournament, so I like that game. Stony Brook played really well today. If they want to play that game, play that well again, they could give Charleston a game. Wilmington Drexel up for grabs. I could see that going either way. Again, if William and Mary wants to shoot the ball lights out again in the first half, they'll be in the game with Hofstra. Northeastern was game today. They came up short. They had a shot in regulation. Didn't go for them, and Delaware moved on.
I think we have to tip our hat to Drexel in their game today. They shut out Monmouth for the first 10 minutes and 45 seconds of that game.
Not only 10 minutes and 45 seconds of shutout, but shutout of a team that the day before had scored 100 points. I don't know how that happens. And then, amazingly, Stony Brook starts out scoreless for the first 5 minutes of their game. It gets Ante. Ante was up 14-0 in this game before Stony Brook woke up and just dominated the rest of the way. So back-to-back games in which one of the two teams could not score a single point in this conference tournament. Briggs, do we see any upsets here in these four games tomorrow?
No, I think the gap between the top four teams and the rest of the conference in this league was pretty substantial. And just like it was in, the SoCon, no upsets, no way.
Yeah, you never know. Although I think Drexel, UNC, Wilmington are a lot closer than you may think. I think that might be a good game.
It might be.
Delaware, your defending champions down there against Towson.
Yep. And William and Mary. They might beat Hofstra.
No.
The way things have been going, yeah.
Stalica, it was first round day in the Big Sky. We saw Northern Arizona take out Idaho and Northern Colorado take out Portland State.
This is one of the rare years where we've been able to get the Big Sky first round games into the podcast right here. Usually it's one of these games where we cheat and we don't reveal the winner until the following morning as soon as the recap goes up.
Yeah, as far as these two games, Dorman, these two winners today play the only two of the four quarterfinals tomorrow. It'll be Northern Arizona, Eastern Washington, Northern Colorado, Montana State. Do you think either one of these teams that won today have any shot against the one of the two seeds tomorrow?
I don't. I do not. But I'm confused here. Why the teams that played today are playing tomorrow, yet the other two games that no one had to play, and they're getting to wait till Monday.
I've several conferences that split their things up to it. I think what things is you're giving another little bit of an advantage to the one of the two seeds.
Advantage to the top seeds? Okay. Yeah.
Make this is what the Summit and the Metro Atlantic do now.
Yeah. And also it means that teams don't have to come in as early because you don't have to have, these two winners, say, sitting around a couple of days waiting for a game.
Yeah, it might mean something else. It might mean the women's tournament is in the same location at the same venue, get two games in a day.
That's why they split them up. I think his question was, why don't we play the 4-5 and the 3-6?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, Dorman, though, is if you play the 4-5 and 3-6 tomorrow, those two winners would have a day off before the semifinals. Yeah. The one of the two seeds would not have a day off. Again, you want to give the advantage to the one of the two seeds. Give them the day off between the quarters and the semis.
Or give them the camp.
You guys told me.
Give them home court advantage.
That's a different story. Summit League, first round days, games. It was North Dakota Griggs taking care of Denver. Sorry, this is quarterfinal round day today.
Quarterfinals.
Oral Roberts taking care of North Dakota and South Dakota State getting a surprising game effort from Omaha.
Yeah, Omaha, South Dakota State was competitive all the way through. Oral Roberts, North Dakota, I'm just now seeing the final score. North Dakota must have gone out in a blaze because I think they were down by about 30-ish when I turned it over.
Yeah, it was not this close at all.
Yeah.
Stalika, we have the other two quarterfinals tomorrow. Western Illinois, St. Thomas, North Dakota State, South Dakota. St. Thomas, ineligible. Upcoming team here. One of the programs we love, but you see what happens down there at the bottom if the Oral Roberts get the bid if they somehow win the tournament. But your thoughts on these two games?
I don't think the St. Thomas fans are going to give a damn if they're not able to go to the tournament this year. They should be able to at least enjoy the experience, hopefully for at least two rounds right here. I just can't see them getting past Oral Roberts. North Dakota State is a team that always seems to be a contender here in the Summit League tournament right here. Even though South Dakota is going to be in their home state, I still think North Dakota State's going to have the bigger fan contingent at this event right here.
How big, Griggs, is Oral Roberts rooting for St. Thomas to win just so they don't have to deal with the dangerous Western Illinois, who seems to always pull off a major upset in this conference
Yeah.
tournament?
Yeah, probably pretty heavily.
West Coast Conference, we cheated again. The Santa Clara San Francisco game has not yet gone final. I think it's barely
Six
even
six.
started.
Yes,
Six
it's
six.
six to six. Not
Six
only
six
has
to
it not
six.
gone final, it's too close to call at the moment.
Yeah, but BYU did take care of Portland. Did take care of Loyola Marymount if they beat Portland last night. I'm going to, and now they get a day off Sunday before they go up against St. Mary's on Monday night, Griggs. But how about this BYU team keeping their West Coast Conference existence going for at least 2 more days?
Yeah, they look good today, and they gave St. Mary's hell in both of the games that they played this season. They didn't win any of them, but they were really competitive in there. So, in they get a day to recharge. The West Coast Conference not playing games on Sunday, to accommodate BYU, and they can use that day to kind of get their legs back. And I don't think they're going to beat St. Mary's. But it's not preposterous to think that they could. They almost did twice.
We will maybe do a quick couple seconds on the Santa Clara San Francisco game tomorrow night when we do our podcast here. But no, we it's 6-6. That's all I got.
Yeah.
That was it for today's games, though. Let's go to the other games that are coming up tomorrow, including one more championship game. It is Liberty at Kennesaw in the biggest game in the state of Georgia, or at least the Kennesaw State
Yeah,
section of the state of Georgia
it is the
tomorrow.
biggest
Sorry.
sporting event in the history of the state of Georgia. I know they've had Super Bowls. I know they've had this. This is just the biggest day the state has ever seen. I'm actually really excited about this game.
And this is why Griggs explained how disappointed he was going to be for the NEC title, and we would watch because of the scene and the situation that's going to go on in Atlanta tomorrow at this Kennesaw State gym. And
It's going to be
Liberty's going to bring
terrible.
their fans, and the place is going to be up for grabs for 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's going to be absolutely awesome, fantastic, a bid on the line. Winner's going to be so excited and going crazy after. And that's the disappointment in us in the NEC is why this game is so awesome.
Yeah. And
Sleek
it's
at your.
oh, what an atmosphere this is going to be.
Yeah, awesome.
They might already be in the building.
Be start, yeah.
Yeah.
The party has begun,
Yeah.
probably.
Any thoughts on the game, Sleeka?
I have a feeling there's probably going to be a busload of Jerry's Joker students coming down from Liberty for this one. I still think they're going to end up winning the game right here and spoiling the party for the Owl fans.
I'm with you. You know what? I'd love to see Kennesaw do it. Never been before. It's going to be a
Okay.
great scene if they do. I just think Liberty's going to. I think Liberty's a better team, and they already play. And Kennesaw beat them once already. I don't think you beat them twice.
Yeah, I would pick Liberty if I was picking a winner, but I think it's closer than you all think. I think Kennesaw's going to be up for it. They're balanced. They got a lot of weapons, and Liberty's had a tough
They
time
match
with
up
them.
well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They match up well with them. I'm with Greg.
Yeah.
All right. We are also returning to action in the Patriot League. It is semifinal day. We were talking about 6-7 games in the SoCon. We got a 6-7 game, American at Lafayette in the late game. Army's at Colgate in the early game. Army, one of four teams that have been a member of Division I since it started and has never made the NCAA tournament. They will be favored to get that bid? Should they pull the upset at Colgate tomorrow?
Yeah, in one sense, Colgate just blew through the league. If you want to get a team into the NCAA tournament that can make a good showing of itself, and maybe win a game in the round of 64, you're pulling for Colgate. But either way, it's going to be an incredible storyline because if Army wins this game, they're at home in a championship game to get to a place that they've never been before, and that
At
would be
West
pretty cool. Yeah.
Point would be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
This is a conference tournament championship game when it comes up Wednesday night. That has always been bonkers,
Yeah.
because always played on campus sites. Slicka, what about the other game here? American at Lafayette.
I mean, there were going to be pretty high odds going into the tournament that Lafayette would even get to host a game in the conference tournament right here. Now, granted, they did jump out to a pretty big lead against Lehigh the other night. American's also going to be coming in with quite a bit of momentum, upsetting the second-seeded Midshipmen right here. I still think Lafayette's going to have a pretty sizable advantage getting to play at home right here.
I'm kind of going with American here. American was a team that actually started the season pretty well, and I
They
think
did.
in
Yeah.
non-conference they were our pick to win this conference before we got into conference play, and Colgate started putting their foot down here. So I wouldn't be surprised if American knocks off Lafayette and plays probably at Colgate in the championship game.
Yeah, I'm actually going with American.
One other conference in action tomorrow, and it is the first time we've taken a look at it. It's another one of these extended brackets. It is Southland Tournament Day One. No longer in Katy, Texas. They've moved to Lake Charles, Louisiana, where the host McNeese State will be taking on Texas A&M Commerce in the early game, and Houston Christian against New Orleans in the late game.
Yeah, hosting events can be taxing, it can be annoying, and it's fun, but at the same time it can be a lot of work and it can burn you out. So the Southland taking an interesting approach here, Chad. The eighth place team has to host the tournament.
This was actually something that McNeese wanted. They've got a new facility there in Lake Charles, I believe, and they
Yeah.
and in fact, I heard rumors that when McNeese was actually toying with leaving the conference, that this was one of the things that the Southland used to entice them to stay. So, hey, but
Yeah.
Dorman, what about these two games? You seen upset in terms of seeds in either one of them?
No, actually, I like Houston Christian to beat New Orleans, and I also like Commerce to go on the road and beat McNeese, even though they're playing at home. So, no, I do not see an upset.
And who do you think wins this whole thing, though, since the first time we've looked at the tournament?
Yeah, I've been more impressed this year with Northwestern State
Yeah,
more than
that's fun
Corpus
too.
Christi. I'm going with Northwestern State. I really like what I've seen so far this year from them. I expect them to play Corpus Christi in the finals, but I expect Northwestern State to be dancing.
I
Yeah,
think they
my
may have
same
a tough
pick.
they may have a tougher game in their semifinal against Southeastern Louisiana than against Corpus Christi, though. But I think if they get by that one, they do win it.
Yeah. So are you picking Sila?
No, I'm picking Northwestern
Oh,
State,
yeah.
but I'm not picking Corpus Christi. I think that I would just say that Northwestern State semifinal may be tougher than the championship for them.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Slicka, who you got in this event?
I think Southeastern Louisiana is going to be a bit of what Griggs likes to call a live wire team, but anytime you have a team that is able to win a game on the road against a Big 12 team, I think you have to give an edge to a Northwestern State to win the title here.
I think it's unanimous, Northwestern State. And I think that's it. Survival board time.
Yes, the survival board.
This is a tool we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to let them know, among other things, how many teams are left for them to possibly select from, correct? And they're
Yeah, it is.
heading into the day today, there were 275 teams left with a chance to win it all. As a
Right.
result of today's action, big jump down to 244.
Yeah, it was a busy day.
That will actually drop to 243 as soon as this last West Coast Conference game was final as well.
Yeah, and, you know, the selection committee, they use the site, they follow the site, they watch the shows. I guess, you know, they were asking us today, like, what are we supposed to do with 275 teams? That's a lot of teams. And so every day they kind of enjoy, it's a little less to worry about. Oh, it's a little less to worry about. So, you know, that's, there we go. 244. Can you believe, if my puppet math is correct, we have now eliminated 108 teams.
Not bad.
Good math. Bad.
Yeah.
Now, the committee, when they come to the site, not only know how many teams are available, but they also know where to put them. For example.
Yes.
If they come to this site and they're looking to find out whether or not Baylor should get an at-large bid, what would they find out by seeing them in blue?
That they should get an at-large bid, that they should select them. Yeah, that they know to select them.
If they came to this site, though, Griggs, and they said, what about Idaho? Maybe we should have Idaho an at-large bid.
No, I mean, anybody that said that should be removed from the room because that it is ludicrous to select a team that has been crossed out on the survival board.
What about Oklahoma State? A nice win today. What should they do? What does this board tell them about Oklahoma State?
That's kind of – we don't like to do this, but – at least I don't, but you got to leave some decisions up to them.
Okay, so
they will decide. Yeah,
Oklahoma State, they can make their own decision on.
Right. Yes.
Greg, do you have Oklahoma State getting it?
The last one I did, I did not. I don't think I had them very, very close to the cut line, which is crazy because I was big on them before most other people. Yeah.
Yes,
I guess we have one other order of business to get to here, Griggs, and that is we have been doing blind resumes for you every night to try to get out of your puppet bunker.
Well, why am I even in here in the first place? David, you know that Joe Lenardi's not in an actual bunker. He's in a studio.
Now,
yes, Griggs, good food,
yeah,
nice clothes, everything, top of the line.
Griggs, I got a pair of teams here that are the exact type of teams that we just talked about the survival board that maybe the committee should be looking at and evaluating. But can you tell us which two teams are these? And the clue is they are both currently in green on the survival board.
Okay. That's a good clue. So these are kind of bubble teams. Okay. Because these are bubble teams, Chad. And we spend a lot of time looking at bubble teams. I know who these teams are. I don't even have to really figure it.
He's getting out.
Yeah, I am getting out tonight.
Oh, wow.
All right. Do you want me to say, you're not going to just take my word. You want me to name?
No.
The one on the left is Nevada. And the one on the right is the Tigers of Memphis State.
Nevada and Memphis State is the guess.
Yes,
the answer
is
Nevada.
Wow.
And
yes, I got it. What?
It's
what?
A puppet
party.
I got it right.
I heard him say Memphis State, Sleeka. Did you not?
We're going to have to go to replay. I know it's going to take a couple minutes, but I am pretty sure I heard Memphis State as well.
Memphis State, they have not been Memphis State in quite a while. It is the Memphis Tigers. I am sorry, Griggs. You are still locked.
It's a state university.
But Memphis is not a state, though.
Let's go to
finals. Jersey, sometimes it does say Memphis State,
yeah,
even.
Thank you.
Let's go to final thoughts, Stalika.
This has to be one of the more crazier first Saturdays of a championship week that we've had in quite some time. It's like Big South, you get a buzzer beater. SoCon, you get a buzzer beater. Ohio Valley Conference, you have a shot that could send Tennessee Tech into the tournament for the first time in 60. That's a two-pointer. We're going to need five more minutes. So it ends up being a SEMO's first NCAA tournament bid since 2000 right here. And then you throw in the Colonial, which had their own set of craziness with early runs, as well as I think Delaware also. They got away with fouling Northeastern in the act of shooting, where the Huskies hit three free throws to send the game into overtime. But Delaware ends up surviving to advance against, I believe, Towson in the quarterfinals.
That's correct. Towson up next. Dorman.
Yeah, the NCAA needs to figure out a better system for the for this replay. It's ruining the end of games, and it's making it way too choppy, and it's ruining it for the fans and the teams and the schools. Even when there's not a problem, if there's no issue, they're still going to the replay to figure out if there was 2.7 seconds or 2.6 seconds when the ball went through, and they're spending 5 minutes to debate, to look this over. Like, it doesn't need to be. It's 2.6 or 2.7. Just leave it. It's bothering me that even when there's not an issue, we're spending way too much time looking at replays. We're giving timeouts to teams today who didn't have timeouts, then get to set up a play.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many timeouts you have anymore, because after every situation, there's a stoppage in play. It needs to be figured out. There's got to be a better way than this.
I agree with you completely here.
Yeah, we
I
had a
was
better way. Remember, we were going to have a replay czar, the bracketeer.
Right.
I was gonna say that, as we record this, actually Arizona State has come back. They're only down two at USC late. We're not even gonna wait for that game to end because we're gonna have 30 replays before this game is
Right,
over in the last 23
yeah.
seconds. Greg, you want to finish the show off?
Yes, something that is in connection with the survival board. If you're watching this show, you're going to want to follow our friend Brian Black. He's on when he can be. He's certainly an active member on the email thread, which I know isn't on the website and it's more behind the scenes, but it's there. CBB Jerseys for Hope, I think, is his new Twitter follow. If you're not following it, give him a follow. And if you can, donate to his charity. It's worthwhile. And we certainly appreciate what he tweets out with all the jerseys that he has as teams are eliminated from the survival board, kind of giving them a curtain call, so to speak.
Yes, we retweet them a lot of those as well. So if you're following us on Twitter, and I know we've got a lot of new Twitter followers, got a lot of new people coming to the website, so welcome. But on this point in time, on behalf of John Salica, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We're back again with another one of these video notebooks at some ungodly hour again tomorrow night.